From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, we will play Indonesian songs. Well, listener, I will begin with Newsline. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to hold meeting with Papua's eminent figures. And Indonesia-Japan strengthen cooperation in the labor sector. Now the news in detail. Presidential Staff Chief, retired General Muldoko, confirmed President Joko Widodo or Jokowi will shortly meet Papua's prominent figures to handle the rioting that had broken out in Indonesia's easternmost provinces of Papua and West Papua. Papua's condition is showing signs of recovery following tactical measures adopted by the Indonesian Army Commander and Indonesian Police Chief. He called on everyone to not become incited and remain calm. Muldoko believes that emotional reactions will give rise to newfangled problems and make the perpetrators behind the rioting happy. Muldoko backed several parties harboring expectations of the authorities take more stern actions. However, Muldoko has appealed to all not to become emotional, as it will also result in wastage of energy. Chairperson of the National Sulu Movement, Mahfud MD, said there could not be a referendum in Papua if it reversed to national and international law. Mahfud MD, after filling in Solo, Central Java, on Saturday, August 31st, said that, according to the constitution, there should be no referendum in Papua because Indonesian law does not recognize the referendum for self-determination of the area under its control. In addition, he said it was also in accordance with international conventions, namely conventions on political rights, civil rights, and economic, social, and cultural rights. The government hopes that labor cooperation with Japan can be increased, especially to provide opportunities for trainers to intern in Japan. At this time, the Indonesian government has cooperated with Ehime Prefecture in Japan in several fields of employment, including the development of human resources and improving the quality of vocational education and training. Minister of Manpower M. Hanif Dakiri stated on Sunday, August 31st, that the cooperation would be continued to improve the skills of Indonesian young people and the Center for Job Training. He added to expand cooperation in increasing the capacity and quality of automated vocational training at the World Training Center owned by the Ministry of Manpower and Regional Technical Implementation Units is deemed necessary for further cooperation talks with Ehime and the Japan International Cooperation Agency, or JISA. Indonesia is targeting trade volume with Jordan to reach $500 million in 2020. Last year, the trade between the two countries reached $300 million. Indonesian Ambassador to Jordan, Andi Rahmianto, in a release received by Business Saturday, August 31, 2019, said in the first half of the 2019, the country's investors, with the world's largest Muslim population, reached $3.84 million. He said Jordan was the fourth largest investor after the United Arab Emirates, Yemen, and Saudi Arabia. Editor was of his Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Acting Governor of Aceh, Nova Iriansyah, stated that the presence of logistics center in Aceh Industrial Area or KIA, Ladong, Aceh Besar District, could place the province as the main investment destination in Western Indonesia. Nova Iriansyah in Aceh Besar on Saturday, August 31st, said the presence of the bonded logistics center would be beneficial for business activities in Aceh, where domestic manufacturing companies no longer needed to import raw materials, capital goods, or auxiliary materials, because they were all available in the area. He made the statement on the sidelines of the groundbreaking of the construction of the bonded logistics center and integrated warehousing of PT Transcontinent in the Aceh Industrial Zone or KIA Ladong, Aceh Besar Regency. He explained that the construction of the logistics center is closely related to the spirit to expand the supply of goods and increase the export channel of regional products. The Ministry of Transportation wants Indonesian manufacturers and operators to host their own country in the acceleration of electric vehicle implementation program. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi in Jakarta on Saturday, August 31st, claimed to have had some discussions with several ministries, such as the Ministry of Industry and Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education, together with the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs. Now, the program is the implementation of Presidential Regulation No. 55/2019 concerning the acceleration of the battery-based electric motorized vehicle program for road transportation. This is an initiative so that the regulation can be put into effect and be well received by stakeholders. It is hoped that Indonesian products can be the host in their own country. It is said that these regulations can be the basis of the government in implementing incentives for manufacturers and operators. The last item, the Ministry of Youth and Sports hopes that the holding of the second Indonesia International Weightlifting Championships will provide international-level competitive experience for national young weightlifting athletes. Secretary of the Minister of Youth and Sports, Gatot S. Dewabroto, at the three sports competition Semarang on Saturday, August 31st, said there were participants from foreign countries who were present, so it would lead to a different competition environment compared to if the participants were only from within the country. According to him, the International Class Championship can provide different experiences for participants, both from the aspect of the competition environment, the quality of the match, to different standards. In addition, with very varied numbers of competition can also encourage young participants to be more interested in exploring weightlifting to the junior, senior, or professional level. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This week's spotlight is on moving the capital no later than 2024.
the puzzle where the location of the new capital city of the Republic of Indonesia has been answered. President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday, August the 26th, announced the location of the new capital city, which is in East Kalimantan, precisely in two districts, namely Kutai Kartanegara and North Penajam Pasar. The president was accompanied by Vice President Yusuf Kalla, a number of ministers, as well as East Kalimantan Governor Isran Nur and Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan. President Joko Widodo conveyed the reason for moving the capital because Jakarta's burden as a center of government and business had been very heavy, such as traffic jams, pollution, and flooding. Meanwhile, the North Penajam Pasar and Kutai Kartanegara areas have minimal risk of disasters, including floods, earthquakes, tsunamis, forest fires, volcanoes, and landslides. Besides that, the location is strategic. It is in the middle of Indonesia. The region is also close to the developing cities Balikpapan and Samarinda. The total land area prepared is 180,000 hectares. East Kalimantan Governor Isran Nur welcomed the president's decision. The positive impact is not only in the interest of East Kalimantan, but also all provinces in Kalimantan, which is directly adjacent to Western Sulawesi. Not only Kalimantan, Isran also believes that the positive impact can be on Eastern Indonesia as a whole. Meanwhile, Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan stressed that moving the capital to East Kalimantan would not have a bad effect on the Jakarta economy because Jakarta will always be the center of Indonesia's economy. He hoped later the former office land can be converted to commercial purposes and public spaces. For example, some are commercial areas and some are green open spaces. The Minister for National Development Planning, head of the Bappenas, Bambang Brojonegoro, said that the transfer of the capital to East Kalimantan is not later than 2024. Well, that was this week's Spotlight over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Today in history, I'll begin with September the 1st, 1923, earthquake in Kanto, Japan. The Great Kanto earthquake hit the Kanto Plain on the Japanese main island of Honshu on Saturday, September the 1st, 1923. Various reports indicate the duration of the earthquake was between 4 to 10 minutes. This earthquake, measuring 7.9 magnitude on the scale moment, with its focus far below Izu Oshima Island in Sagami Bay. The death toll and victims lost were more than 105,000 people, and over 1,900,000 people were evacuated. This earthquake destroyed 109,000 buildings. Turning to September the 1st, 1961, the first conference of the Non-Aligned Movement. The Non-Aligned Movement is an international organization established in the Cold War era, consisting of more than 100 countries which consider themselves to not form alliances with any great power. The purpose of this organization, as stated in the Havana Declaration of 1979, is to guarantee the independence, sovereignty, territorial integrity, and security of the non-aligned countries in their struggle against imperialism, colonialism, neocolonialism, apartheid, racism, and all forms of aggression, military, occupation, domination, interference, or hegemony, and against all forms of political bloc. The Non-Aligned Movement itself originated from an Asia-Africa summit held in Bandung, Indonesia in 1955. There, countries which did not side with a particular bloc declared their desire not to be involved in the confrontation of East-Western ideology. The founder of this movement are five world leaders, namely Josip Broz Tito, President of Yugoslavia, Sukarno, President of Indonesia, Gamal Abdel Nasser, President of Egypt, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, Indian Prime Minister, and Kwame Nkrumah from Ghana. The Non-Aligned Movement held its first high-level conference in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, from September 1 to 6, 1961. It was during the first conference that the Non-Aligned Movement was officially born. I'll close with September 1, 1963, the Bogor Institute of Agriculture is established. Bogor Agricultural University is an agricultural higher education institution that has historically been formed by secondary and tertiary institutions of agriculture and veterinary medicine that existed in the early 20th century in Bogor. Before World War II, the secondary education institutions were known as Middelbare Landbouwschool, Middelbare Bosbouwschool, and Netherlands Indische Veeartsenschool. On September 1, 1963, Indonesia's first president Sukarno laid the first stone of campus construction, marking the inauguration of the Bogor Agriculture Institute as an independent college. That was Today in History from Indonesia to the World.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing deception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read a letter sent by Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. This time, he was listening to our broadcast in English program on August 25th, 2019 at 13:30 hours until 1400 hours UTC through streaming www.voinews.id. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Akil Bashir. Thank you very much for always sending your reception report to our podcast. It means that you always keep monitoring to our radio. We really appreciate it. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Perjalanan jauh yang tak kutempuh.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today, Sunday, September the 1st, is entitled Jakarta Squash Open 2019 Encourages Squash Sports Interest. Indonesia held an international squash championship, the Jakarta Squash Open 2019. The event, which took place from August the 26th to 29th, was participated by various countries including India, Malaysia, Singapore, as well as Indonesia. Jakarta Squash Association Provincial Management Chairperson Amelia Krishna Damayanti at the Bung Karno Squash Building on Thursday, August the 29th, said that the holding of the Jakarta Squash Open 2019 was quite successful because there were many participants and not only from within the country but also from abroad. Furthermore, Amalia Krishna revealed that the upcoming Jakarta Squash Open 2020 championship, there will be more thorough preparation so that there will be more participants, especially from abroad. On the other hand, she revealed that until now the association continues to provide guidance to all athletes, including junior athletes, in order to improve achievement at national and international levels. Amalia Krishna hopes that the implementation of the 2019 Jakarta Squash Open Championship can foster and increase public interest in squash, which so far is not very popular in Indonesia. Meanwhile, in the Jakarta Squash Open Championship, Jakarta Provincial Team won the overall championship with 6 gold, 3 silvers, and 4 bronze medals. The second position was won by West Java with 3 gold, 5 silvers and 4 bronzes, and Central Java in the third position with 4 silvers and 4 bronzes. On the other hand, the Indonesian Squash Association of Jakarta said the local government is currently completing the construction of a new squash field located at Koja Sports Hall, North Jakarta. Amelia Krishna Damayanti disclosed the field under construction would have an area of around 250 square meters for 3 squash fields. Meanwhile, the head of the Jakarta Youth and Sports Agency, Ahmad Firdaus, also conveyed the commitment of the Jakarta government to build an international squash field. It is being built with a budget of around 400 million rupiah and is targeted to be completed in the next 2 months. With the special squash court owned by the regional government of Jakarta, it is hoped that the interest of the Indonesian people, specifically Jakarta, will be increasingly focused on squash. Well, that was My Indonesia Today on Jakarta Squash Open 2019 Encourages Squash Sports Interest. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Now we will reply an email from our regular listener, Baikan Hazarika in India. In his reception report of our broadcast, Mr. Baikan Hazarika told that through frequency 3525 kHz at 1320 hours UTC on August 25, 2019, he could receive our broadcast quite clearly with simple 33333. Hello, Mr. Baikan Hazarika. Thank you for your reception report. I hope that you are not bored to send it to voi@voinews.id. Thank you. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song to you. Here is the song.
Satu, hey, 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 hey,
Canada Reservist Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, now we will present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. This time I will be featuring Jaran Bodag, an original traditional performance art of Probolinggo, East Java. Jaran Bodag is one of the original traditional performance arts of Probolinggo, East Java, which is in 2014 has been established in the list of Indonesian intangible cultural heritage. Until now, Jaran Bodag remains popular among the people of Probolinggo and is usually used to accompany parade in celebrations like wedding and circumcision parties. In Javanese or Madurese languages, Jaran means horse and Bodag means container or other forms. Jaran Bodag is an artificial horse made of wood or rattan resembling a horse head to the neck. The wooden horse neck is decorated with various accessories. Jaran Bodag art is usually held in the form of a procession on the street or in front of the house, accompanied by traditional gamelan music consisting of kenong, gong, drum, and sronen. In the Jaran Bodag procession, there are two people who carry Jaran Bodag and two janis or dancers who accompany Jaran Bodag. Jaran Bodag players use sparkling, unique, and attractive clothes that are designed with the intention to attract the audience. Anyone can ride Jaran Bodag because the movements are not difficult as long as they can follow the rhythm of the traditional music. Historically, the art of Jaran Bodag cannot be separated from the art of Jaran Kencak, which is the forerunner of Jaran Bodag. Some say that Jaran Kencak had begun to appear at the beginning of Indonesian independence around 1945. In the local language, Jaran Kencak means dancing horse, a show that uses horses that are specially trained for dancing and being dressed in complete clothing and accessories. Whereas people who could not afford to buy a horse but also wanted to enjoy entertainment such as Jaran Kencak then created a mock horse made of wood resembles of horse head to the neck. Then the wooden horse's neck was decorated with equipment or accessories similar to the original Jaran Kencak. Jaran Bodag players must be able to stand inside the mock horse surrounded by horse accessories. Until now, Jaran Bodag still exists in all districts of Probolinggo City. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. Tomorrow, we'll meet again with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by Kalab Abbas in Pakistan. In his email, Mr. Kalab Abbas congratulated to Mr. Azam Ali Sumsro, who is one of the winners of VOI International Quiz. Thank you, Mr. Kalab Abbas, for your attention. Well, listener Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we will play another song for you. Enjoy the song and happy listening.
Ingin ku kecup mesra rona merah pipimu yang selalu ku damba. Tak satu hal pun yang bisa pisahkan kau dan aku di malam ini. Bisik suaramu terdengar, lambut kau sebut namaku. Rasakan hangat nafasmu, seakan ku terbang tinggi.
Menarilah bersamaku, melebur menjadi satu.
Pisahkan kau dan aku di malam ini. Bisik suaramu terdengar, lembut kau sebut namaku. Rasakan hangat nafasmu, seakan ku terbang tinggi.
Menjadi satu, kan ku buat malammu takkan pernah terlupa. Dunia seakan terhenti, sayang kau buatku kini seakan memiliki dunia baru, hanya kamu.
Melabur menjadi satu. Hanya kamu dan aku.
Still with me, Putri. Here is Mizalani that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia. Today's miscellany is titled ITS Students Turn Pollution into Eco-Friendly. Air pollution is an urban issue faced by many countries, mainly their big cities. Many and increasing vehicles, especially private ones like motorcycle, contribute to air pollution increase. This condition is worsened by decreasing quantity and quality of plants and trees around us. From this issue, students of chemistry department at November 10 Institute of Technology or ITS Surabaya, East Java, successfully attempt to convert air pollution from vehicles into safe and emission-worthy gas. Air pollution is a mix of various toxic gas that can cause respiration disorder or disease, such as carbon monoxide, nitrogen oxide, and hydrocarbon. The students are Alvin Rahmat Widianto, Vina Rizky Andina, and Hafil Datu Roshida. They conducted the research under the supervision of Endang Purwanti Setyaningsih. Dish Innovation Team Leader Alvin Rahmat Widianto, in a statement on ITS official website, said this research must be followed up further because of human activities that cannot be separated from vehicles, and if neglected, it can worsen environmental health. He aided to overcome air pollution issue. His team had an innovation by creating catalytic converter in form of reactor or small tube containing copper plates and solid chemical compound, namely MnO2 or zeolite Y hierarchy catalyst. Alvin explained, copper and catalyst function to reduce or convert carbon monoxide, nitrogen oxide, and hydrocarbon into carbon dioxide, nitrogen, water vapor, and iron sulfate. Those toxic gases are absorbed. The team had studied the converted gas and it was declared to be safe and to have benefits for environment. For instance, carbon dioxide can help plants in photosynthesis, nitrogen can support soil fertility, while water vapor and iron sulfate can be a safe product for environment. The team then installed catalytic reactor on vehicle exhaust, which was specially made to avoid producing sound pollution from the exhaust. Alvin said catalytic converter has benefits, namely usable for 1 whole year. Besides that, catalyst material price is affordable and easily found at chemical market. So listener, that was Miscellany for today. I'm Puri Safiri Adela. See you next time.
Kita bahagia sederhana. sana.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back in Music Corner segment. In today's edition, we will discuss a song by Firza. At the end of August 2019, Firza returned to writing a song and released his latest single. A new step, a new journey, and new challenges will again be passed by Firza, who will release a third album in the near future. His latest single, titled Nyaman, is the first single from the third album. In the song Nyaman, Firza wrote his own lyrics and collaborated with Ikai as a music producer. The song tells the story of an admirer of someone who is always in the heart, brain, and everything, because he ever helped whatever life's problems. Even just mentioning his name can make all the unsolved problems can get a solution. Listener, here is Nyaman, sung by Firza.
Kemarin sempat aku berbuat salah, tapi itu hanyalah kilaf yang terlupakan oleh sang waktu. Tak ada yang rela untuk menyakiti hati yang dicintai karena maksud yang buruk hingga ku melukaimu. Dirimu adalah nafasku yang selalu bisa membuat nyaman hati ini, dan kamu penyelamat hidupku dari semua luka. Hati yang dicintai karena maksud yang buruk hingga ku melukaimu. Dirimu adalah nafasku yang selalu bisa membuat teman hati ini, dan kamu penyelamat hidupku dari semua. Kau penyelamat hatiku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Pagi telah pergi, mentari tak bersinar lagi. Entah sampai kapan ku mengingat tentang dirimu. Ku hanya diam menggenggam menahan segala kerinduan, memanggil namamu di setiap malam. Kau datang dan hadir di mimpiku. Rindu dan waktu kan menjawab pertemuan ku dan dirimu. Hingga sampai kini aku masih ada di sini. Ku hanya diam menggenggam menahan segala kerinduan, memanggil namamu di setiap malam. Ingin engkau datang dan hadir di mimpiku. Rindu dan bayangmu akan selalu bersandar di hatiku. Janjiku pastikan pulang bersama.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Redup dan kusam. Oh, apa ini pertanda kesedihan atau kebahagiaan?
sedikit merasa dilema di sudutku sendiri. Tak sepatah kata terucap menanti dulunya hati. Tak bisa ku dan aku pun berharap semoga semua jadi kenangan terbaik dalam hidupku. Di lalu memikirkanmu, tak tega meninggalkanmu. Ku coba tuk tegarkan diri melawan rasa di hati. Dan aku pergi ke hadapanmu tuk ucapkan kata pisahku.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia because we still have other interesting programs in different languages. I'm Putri Safari Adela. See you on the next English program.